Another day, another dollar as I holler to the world. I love the way I'm living, love the Gucci, love the girls, love the parties and the clubs, love the models and hot tubs, love the German engineering set on deep dish dubs. Another tour around the world, entertaining the fans. I love walking through the airport, taking pictures, shaking hands. Every day for me's an oyster, cracking open, find a pearl. I love the way I'm living, what I holler to the world.
Welcome back to Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze.
I happen to be MVP.
The balling? Superstar?
I happen to be.
You happen to be.
I happen to be.
Why does it happen to be today? You are.
I'm just clowning. Actually, I'm really, really excited because there's a cool announcement that we got.
Yes. Yep. Y'all gonna like this.
All right. So listen, we have a live episode, a recording of Marking Out coming up in the greater Houston area. So it's not Houston like proper, but what we call the greater Houston area, I guess.
You know? Yeah. Pearland.
Pearland, Texas. Do we have a date?
Yep, March 28th.
March 28th.
Yep.
March 28th, Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze will be live from the Space City Collective.
Yes.
Which is a cool-ass sneaker boutique. My fellow black belt, Space City Chino.
Shout out Chino.
Professor Chino. We're going to come to Space City Collective. We're going to do a little meet and greet. We're going to hang out live. Yeah. A live recording of Marking Out. Pearland, Space City Collective, March 28th. We're going to talk about wrestling.
Wrestling.
And MMA and sneakers in wrestling.
Right on.
Because it is a sneaker boutique where you get them fly sneakers. I might bring out a pair of my special kicks for that
one. Are you going to bring something?
I'm going to bring something, yeah.
All right.
I might even put them on consignment there at Space City Collective.
Put a glass case?
Yeah. Put them in the case, you know. But so please, if you're watching this, you're in the greater Houston area, tell a friend. Space City Collective, March 28th, a live recording of Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze.
Yep, that is
off the press.
And that's going to be from noon, 12 to 2 p.m. And Ryan is going to do his special thing here and probably put up the graphics so you guys can see it. 11200 Broadway Street, Pearland, Texas.
Graphic.
All right, P. So
R.I.P.
Oh, dang, man. I think I've gone like 15 episodes in a row without doing it, man. Our good buddy, one of our Patreon subscribers, patron Alfredo the Latino Lariat. Yeah.
Alfredo, I'm going to put you on hold for a second. This is Macallan 15.
Ooh.
This is for more sophisticated palate. This isn't cinnamon syrup whiskey.
Oh, here we go.
This is grown folks whiskey. So this is proper scotch right here. And I'm going to pour a little bit because we today didn't bring our own bottle. So we're borrowing a bottle from our benefactors here at my speakeasy. I won't say the name, but if you know, you know. And just put it on my tab. We got a good relationship.
Right on.
Okay. The Latino Lariat. What does he want to know?
Oh, man. So the cool thing with the Latino Lariat, and Alfredo, you got to give us your brother's name, man, so we could shout him out. But his brother is training at Mr. Kennedy's wrestling school.
Oh, okay.
So this question.
Mr. Kennedy.
Right on. So the Latino Lariat wants to know, in today's wrestling landscape, what makes a baby face feel authentic instead of corny? And what are the biggest mistakes young baby faces make early in their careers?
Authentic instead of corny. Well, okay. Let's deal with the second part of that question first. I think one of the biggest mistakes that young baby faces make early in their career is they place more emphasis on the moves that they're doing and not enough emphasis on the character that they're displaying. If you want the fans to get behind you as a babyface, to cheer you, to want to see you win, you have to connect with them on a personal level. I'd say probably the biggest issue there for young wrestlers is that they emphasize the execution of, like, you know, acrobatic moves over properly selling, because that's what gets a babyface over, selling. You want the crowd to get behind you, to want to see you come back when the dastardly heel has poked you in the eye and started beating you up. And, you know, a lot of people can't sell, but they don't sell well. And, you know, nowadays you got a lot of these kids don't sell at all. They do this crazy spinning reverse death drop off the top rope and kick out at one and then on to the next spot. You know, like, dude, I'm going to sell that for 2 minutes. You know, like, oh, I think I might be dead for real. And that was something I picked up on early, and I understood selling. I was always complimented on my selling because I understood how important that was for the character to get over with the audience. I think the biggest mistake they make is emphasizing, you know, the cool move execution over properly selling and establishing a character for audiences to get behind. Like, you can do all the cool moves in the world and that's neat, but if the crowd doesn't, like, care about you, the person doing those moves, you have to connect with the audience. To authentic over corny, you know, that's difficult because, like, pro wrestling is a weird animal. Like, sometimes corny is cool. You know, like,
10-4.
Sometimes people want corny.
Right on.
They want corniness in their you know, their hero, you know, their baby face. They want the, you know, and that's that old school wrestling, but people like John Cena's corny, dog. You know, he could do it, but you want that. You
right
like
on.
That, you
right
know?
On.
You know, but authentic comes from, like I said, like, it's hard because I want to say, like, not being goofy, you know. But then, you know, in pro wrestling nowadays, especially, and always, there's been a bit of goofiness that's sometimes allowed, you know. So I think, you know, the authenticity has to come from selling and presenting the character authentically. And I would always say how, you know, you got these guys that are like 5.5 feet tall, 140 pounds. Yeah, but my character's a killer. My character, nobody believe that shit, man. You don't believe that.
My character's 6'5".
Yeah, but my character, yeah, you know, my gimmick, yeah, yeah. But dude, you look like a wet cat. You know what I'm saying? Like, get out of here, man.
Was there a drill, like, or habit that you had coming up to work on? You know, how you came across to the audience?
No, there's no drill for that, you know, because that's you. And you gotta, and again, I was always lucky because, you know, I got it early on. And I always had it. And I understood how to turn it up in front of the crowd, you know, when I'm working the mic or even in the ring as a baby face. So that's not something you can practice, but you can practice it in the ring by having matches in front of a crowd and figuring out, you know, how you move, you know, how you appear, how you present yourself, you know, and you figure out what they respond to and what they don't. I would say there's no substitution for reps. You know, that's stuff that you got to get out there. You have to do it. You have to experience it. You have to see what feels comfortable, what the fans buy. It's a process, you know. It's a process. So
now you tell me that all the time.
Yeah.
No substitution for reps.
Yeah. And you know, like I said, authentic over corny is it has to come from within, you know. And if you're a goofy, corny guy, then you're going to come across as goofy and corny, you know. You have to be authentically yourself, you know. Whatever your character is, it has to be authentic to come across as authentic, and you have to present it authentically. But like I said, it's pro wrestling, so there's, you know, a bit of goofiness, a bit of camp, the campiness that's allowed, that's even wanted, you know?
Right, right.
Like, you look at the I'm trying to think of somebody who's, I'll give you a great example of somebody who, some guys that got over huge, the Outrunners.
The Marlboro.
They're caricatures of the 80s wrestlers, you know, tell them turn, you know, and dude, it is so campy and it's so like, you know, cheesy 80s wrestling, but you love it.
And I want
so that. Good at it, you know, it's like, I like that, you know, so.
I miss this time. I welcome it.
Yeah, right, exactly, you know. So it, I guess at the end of the day, for your brother, the authenticity has to come from a place of authenticity, you know. And but corniness, it's pro wrestling. Sometimes corniness is allowed. You can be corny and you can get over in that corny way and people will like it and people will allow it. You know, there's lots of exceptions to that rule. If you're a wrestling fan, you can point out, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. And you know, just, if you're corny, you're going to be corny.
Just be corny. Right on. Right on. If you guys want to leave a question for MVP to answer on the show, join our Patreon. The link is in the pinned comment below. Join at the syndicate level or higher. And monthly, we reach out to the patrons, ask them to send in some questions, and MVP goes through them. And, I bring him which one he wants, and we talk.
Also, at this point, if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe to our channel, please. Yes.
Subscribe, like, drop a comment, and please share.
Yes, please. Let's talk some more wrestling.
All right, let's do it. You know what this means.
Oh, boy.
You know what this means.
Here we go.
Yep, it is time for a hot take. So, guys, please, if... if you guys side with me, well, let's do it the right way. If you guys side with MVP, please drop MVP in the comments and then tell us why. If you side with me, drop Sway in the comments, tell us why. And if you don't agree with either of us, put that in the comments too.
Let us but spare us your philosophical diatribe on why either one of us is right or wrong. Just if you don't play by the rules, leave your comment which one of us. I don't care about your philosophical rants about what. Just spare me that. But I do love the fact that you guys really seem to like the hot take.
Yeah.
You're really engaged on these. So we'll keep these coming, and you keep playing along.
All right, here we go. Between the Nation of Domination and the Bloodline, which faction is greater all time, and what impact gives them the edge for you?
Which faction is greater all time? Whew. Which Nation of Domination?
Yeah.
And the Bloodline.
The Bloodline.
Which faction is greater all time? That's a tough one, man. So let me see how hot this take is going to be, because I'm like... I'm going to say the Bloodline, because it changed the economy in the Pacific Islands, because every Samoan, Tongan, and Pacific Islander got hired by WWE. So there's been an influx of money in the Samoan community.
You're going Bloodline?
No, I was making a joke.
Oh, okay, I was like, no, this doesn't seem right. Like, no.
You didn't get my...
No, I did not get it.
Right over the joke.
Yeah, no.
And when the Bloodline came about, they started hiring.
Yeah, everybody. They're right.
You know, the Bloodline changed the economy throughout the Pacific Islands.
As they should.
You and your namesake.
Yeah. Honorary oops. They constantly call me Jimmy and Jay.
Yeah, all the time. Man, call it an age thing, but I'm going to go with the Nation.
Okay.
And why? Uh, I'm going to say The Nation came at a time when there was some serious representation needed.
Right on. Okay. And
Ron Simmons, who's one of my heroes in this thing, you know, just what they provided at the time for representation and just that strong character. But The Rock was born from The Nation.
10-4.
And
Rocky.
What came out of The Nation of Domination, the amount of money that Rocky drew, what Rocky became. And, you know, let's not forget, you know, D'Lo Brown had multiple title runs. Mm-hmm. And Owen Hart, you know, Sami Zayn is just the Owen Hart.
Right.
You know, so this is, you know, a copy of.
This is almost one. This is 1-1.
No, but it's a copy. It's a copy.
It's a copy.
It's not the original.
I can dig it. I can dig it.
Yeah. Sami Zayn's dope, though. Sami's dope. I got so much respect for Sami. Because Roman Reigns was already Roman Reigns when he established the bloodline. He was already that guy.
He was already that guy.
So it didn't elevate him. He was already that guy.
Yeah. He elevated.
I was going to say, he elevated because you got a whole bunch of champions that came out of the bloodline. And now you got like, you know, out of the bloodline came the bloodline 2.0.
Yes. You know? Yep.
But then again, man, maybe it's just generational, man, but I got to go with The Nation. We are The Nation.
Yeah. So clearly I'm the opposite side. Bloodline. That felt like a TV series.
That went on too long.
You think so?
I think.
Yeah. Well, going into, does this have anything to do with what should have happened not happening with?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I just think that, you know, and not taking anything from any of the dudes in the bloodline because I'm friends with all of them. You know, Jimmy and Jay call me uncle, you know.
Right on.
I love them all. I love their success. I got so much respect for Sammy. He's just such a dope performer. It's a no-brainer to me that back then, it should have been the Hurt Business versus the Bloodline.
Right on.
And remember, Bobby Lashley was the last person to pin Roman Reigns at that time. He was the last person to have a
Bobby.
Pin. Yeah,
okay.
Bobby had that over Roman. You had, it was a match made in heaven. Bobby and Roman, Shelton, Cedric, Jimmy and Jay, tag shit, me and Paul on the mic. And I could physically get involved where Paul couldn't, so I could throw the balance sometimes. That would have just been printing money.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a layup, you know. That's climbing up the ladder and dropping the ball. No, but I mean, the Bloodline has done millions and millions and millions.
And millions, yeah.
Dollars.
They controlled like every layer of TV, from the world title, tag titles, main event, everything.
And that's why I said, respectfully, I think it went on too long because sometimes in pro wrestling, and entertainment, when something works, you know, they try to squeeze every dollar out of it. You know, like you get a TV show that works, they run it, you know, how many seasons, they get the copycat show.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
So I'm glad, you know, that everybody came out of it elevated. And like you said, the 2.0, all of those dudes are doing great. You know,
I wonder how it would have looked if The Nation happened during the social media kind of era, because now all the Bloodline numbers are they're not inflated, but they are what they are because YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, etc.
Yeah, it was a different time. Like, you know, when you're trying to compare wrestling now versus wrestling then, you know, there's so many different metrics. You know, like ratings don't really matter anymore when you have streaming. You
yeah,
know? So,
yeah.
And, you know, how to tell who's watching what, the metrics are different. So, I'm not sure. I guess it's not that hot, you know. I'm sorry to disappoint you. But, you know, as a matter of preference, I'll go with The Nation. But, you know, this is one of those where you're not wrong.
Right on.
You know, if you pick the Bloodline, you're not wrong. Because everybody out of that, you know, blew up and did well.
And we got main event Jey Uso now.
Yeah. Main event Jey Uso. I'll just chalk it up to generational.
Okay, 10-4. Please drop your ones in the comments if y'all rolling with your boy. Right? Ones or fists? You know the picks. With Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano returning after long layoffs, and now Mayweather and Pacquiao running it back for number two. I want to ask you, when someone's been out for years, what's the hardest to regain first, and what usually shows up first on a fight night?
So I got some opinions about this, man. I'm never against somebody getting paid, you know, go get your money. Gina Carano and Ronda Rousey, pioneers of women's MMA. And I guess there are some people that want to see them fight, but I don't. And the reason I feel that way is because, like, MMA is a little different from boxing in terms of, like, an exhibition. Like, I am for the exhibition matches that we've gotten, you know, where... You know, where we had Mike Jake. And Mike Tyson and
Jake Paul.
No, not that. No,
not Mike and Jake Paul. Okay.
The first one where it was from Pensacola. Light heavyweight. Well, come on, man. Roy Jones Jr. Like those exhibition bouts where we all know they're just having fun.
Okay.
They're not really trying to kill each other. It's not sanctioned. It's just, hey, for old time's sake, you know, we're watching some guys have a little fun with the boxing. Like, that I enjoy because it is what it is. We know this is, you know. But when it's a quote-unquote real boxing match, then, come on, you're taking the piss out of everybody.
Right. Right.
Like, get out of here with that. And I don't really know how you have, with the brutality that comes with MMA, I don't know how you have, like, an exhibition MMA match, you know?
This has to be the real deal.
No, that's what I'm saying. Okay. You know, and I don't care to see that. And, okay. You know, and with Floyd and Pacquiao, like, Floyd, I got a chance to work with Floyd a few times. Yeah. Floyd's super cool, man. I understand it's been reported that, you know, he's dealing with some financial issues. So get your money. But I didn't want to see Floyd Pacquiao won.
It was already too late.
It's too late, yeah. Like, Floyd, you know, stayed away from Pacquiao. Now, Floyd is masterful at picking when to fight people. I give him credit for that, you know. But, like, by the time he finally fought Pacquiao, it was after Pacquiao suffered that horrific knockout from Juan Manuel Marquez. You know, like, man. You'd never think that you would see that, you know, but...
Is he okay?
He did. So, like, that fight missed its peak. And a lot of people felt it was a disappointing fight, too, you know. If you told me that you're doing Pacquiao Floyd as an exhibition...
Okay. different.
You know, and they're just, you know, they're having fun, you know. Okay, I can get with that. Like I said, I enjoy those exhibition matches when they're presented as such. You know, hey, we're out here, we're having a little fun. Having said that, get your money. You know, I won't be watching either one of those.
Either one of those?
I'm not watching either one. But to answer the question, there is a thing called ring rust, and everybody gets it. You know, pro wrestling, boxing, I guess MMA, they probably call it cage rust, you know. But I think the first thing is cardio, stamina.
Cardio, okay. All right.
I would say, because you got muscle memory. So, you know, the muscles know how to fire. And you know, once you get going, you know, that'll come back to
you. But how long would it take to forget? Because for Gina Carano, I believe her last fight is 2009. Don't quote
me. You don't forget how to ride a bike.
True that. True
that. When you're a fighter, like combos and footwork, those are things that you've done for thousands of hours.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
So it's instilled in you have to shake off that ring rust. You gotta get out there, you gotta sweat. And they always say power is the last thing to go, you know. You might lose speed, you might slow down, but you still got that power, you know.
All right.
Hey, see, look how much power I got. I just knocked my watch off my wrist. With age, you lose a little bit of that snap, that pop. But I think from my experience and from what I've heard, you know, a lot of athletes say, especially as you get older, that gas tank gets a little smaller. You fatigue easier when you're out of shape. And this has happened to me a number of times. I allow myself to get out of shape from wrestling or from jujitsu, and I'm smoking weed, eating pizza, and hanging out, you know.
And then beer.
And lots of beer. And then when I get back on the mat, and I'm, you know, I'm like, lungs are burning. I'm like, you know, and in the ring, you know, running the ropes, and, you know, hey, I ain't got 20 minutes in me, you know, and you got to work up to it. You know, yeah, you can build it back up. You know, you got to get in there. And again, there's no substitute for reps. You got to put the time in. You got to get the rounds in. You got to get the laps in, whatever it is. So that first thing that you'll probably notice is the cardio, the stamina. And, you know, we're looking at, you know, people well into their 40s.
Yeah, man. Know?
And hey, listen, there's anomalies, you know. The former UFC champion, gosh, I can't think of his name now. Randy Couture, like in his 40s, he was a champion. Bernard Hopkins, that you got
B-Hop.
You got anomalies that well into their George Foreman came back. You know, it can be done, and there are some people that can do it, but it's very difficult because father time is undefeated.
Yeah, and I can't imagine the mental, like in that moment and mentally thinking, I can't do this because of something physical going on. You lost. Yeah. It's over. Something's coming to hit you real quick, man.
Yeah, and yeah, that reflexes, I think, are you know, again, just as you get older, you know, being able to, that head movement,
yeah.
And, you know, I know my knees, I've always had pretty banged up knees. I've had, you know, my knees scoped a few times. And, you know, sometimes just squatting down and then, you know, putting that, So, that's my answer to that question. But let me know in the comments, do you have any desire to see Rousey Carano? Do you have any desire to watch Mayweather Pacquiao 2? I'm not interested in either one of those matchups, you know.
I'm going to watch the Mayweather Pacquiao just to go against Floyd for the first time.
Oh, yeah?
Just because I want to see what happened. You know, Pacquiao should have been spending the last however many years of his life, like, if I have one more chance, I got to do this. I want to see what that looks like from Pacquiao's side. But I'm not going to bet on it. There won't be any money on Prize Picks or anything like that because I know.
Yeah,
I'm not betting against Floyd.
I'm not betting on any of that either. I'm not even going to watch it. So,
and Pete, another thing about this, just real quick, what would look worse first on camera to like the viewer with someone that's coming back after a super long layoff?
What would look first?
What would look worse? Like, what would the viewer be able to tell is if something wasn't right? Like,
Well, again, depending on, you know, the athlete we're talking about and how much time they put into a training camp and getting in shape, you know, their physical appearance. Because, you know, you don't look at 40 the way you looked at 25.
10-4, okay.
And even, you know, certain athletes who are in really good shape, you know, just the body don't always bounce back like it used to. People don't look the way they used to look. So physically, you can notice like, oh, well, you know, that person put on a few pounds, you know. But I think the first thing that you'll see is fatigue.
Okay.
You know, when you're used to seeing this person, you know, do 10 rounds and they're just, you know, popping the, I think fatigue, I think that'll be the first thing that will visibly, other than physical appearance, like if somebody comes in a little heavier than they used to, fatigue, you know, just running out of gas way sooner than you remember them running out of gas. And
all right, guys, so drop it in the comments. Are you interested in seeing Rousey Carano or Mayweather Pacquiao 2?
Neither.
Man, P. During COVID, Pandemic P.
Oh, Pandemic P was a mess.
Pandemic P worked the program with Apollo Crews. Can you tell the story of betting John Laurinaitis a steak dinner that you could get something out of Apollo and what you meant by that?
Sweet nectar of gods. Double cask. Yeah. During the pandemic, the very talented Apollo Crews was kind of floundering. You know, they kind of met, I think at that part they had done like a couple stop start kind of pushes with him, and at this time I think I was still a producer. I don't think I had been fully relieved of my producer duties yet. I think I was producer and wrestling, I think. But I remember meeting Apollo and working with him a little bit and seeing like, man, this guy's got some, you know, he's got some skills, man. And great personality, impressive look. Short for the WWE universe, you know, for Vince's stature, you know, he likes, you know, but I saw something there, you know. And John Laurinaitis and I one day were having a conversation. He was asking me, oh, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of that guy? And he said, you think about Apollo Crews? I said, man, there's something there, man. That kid's got some talent. You could do something with him. He goes, I don't see anything.
Whoa.
And I said, you don't think so? He goes, and I guess, you know, what was missing, like, he had a great look and he had ability, but something was missing from the character.
Okay.
He wasn't, you know, for their taste at the time, it wasn't enough there. There wasn't enough oomph, you know. And I liked Apollo, and I disagree with John. I said, I think you're wrong on this one. And so we went back and forth on it a little bit, and I said, let me work with him. I'll get some out of him. And he goes, I don't think you can. I said, I bet I can. And John said, all right, bet a steak dinner. I said, you're on. I bet you a steak dinner. Give me Apollo Crews. I bet I get something out of him. And he said, all right, kid. So I called Apollo. I said, hey, man, look, we need to talk.
All right, kid, to you?
Yeah. Okay. It's funny. Laurinaitis used to say that to me all the time. Like, I remember, I'm like, I'm 40 years old, man. When, still a kid to me.
Okay.
So, all right, well, I'll be a kid forever. Hey, kid. So I talked to Apollo and I said, hey man, I'm gonna tell you straight up. It's the conversation I had with Laurinaitis. They say, ain't nothing in you. You ain't got it. I disagree. So it's funny. We talked and I talked to him about upping his aggression. You know, when it's time to get yours, you know, you can do cool shit, but that's not what they want to see. They want to see your aggression. They want to see your charisma. They want to see your presence. That's what you got to turn up. We got to get that. And he said, okay, you know, and his coachability was impressive because, you know, if he was a guy, if you tell him something, he's not going to say, yeah, okay, and then keep doing the same. You would see the changes made. And we worked a cool, good little program together. And like when he was getting on me, I would tell him, turn it up, be in there, like, turn it up, come on, lay there, get in there, you know. And I remember, I remember at the PC, we had a match, and because I'm pretty, and that's when I introduced the new United States championship. I introduced the new U.S. championship design, and
he was the champ at that time.
Yeah, he was, but he, we were supposed to have a U.S. championship match, but I think he caught COVID, so he couldn't make it. So I felt that he automatically forfeited the match because he didn't show up, so that made me
right on.
By default. but sadly, they don't count that in my U.S. title reigns. They don't say I'm a three-time U.S. champion. And I disagree. I presented the new title. I showed up for the match. I can't control Apollo. He didn't show up. No. I was there. So I feel like that should be my third U.S. championship title run.
You're a champ in our book. Three times.
Three-time U.S. champion. But what ended up coming out of that is Apollo stepped up. He took the coaching. He added some facets to his game, and he turned the volume up on his charisma. He turned up, you know, his aggressiveness. And John Laurinaitis bought me a steak dinner. As a matter of fact, I went and ordered myself a very extravagant, luxurious steak dinner.
Oh,
as a matter of fact, I think I got like a big ass tomahawk. So, pretty sure I had a glass or two of some high end single malt and. And I presented Mr. Laurinaitis with the bill. And he said, it's fair. Deal's a deal. You got it out of her.
Right on.
You know? So, he didn't. At that point, they were kind of souring on Apollo. And I felt like, nah, you guys are wrong on this one. And Apollo stepped his game up. We worked together. And he came up. And Laurinaitis admitted that he was wrong on that one. And
6 years later, he's still there doing his thing. So shout out to Apollo.
Here's to Apollo Crews.
I think we've done it again, P.
Another one in the books?
Another one in the books. March 28th, Saturday, March 28th, Space City Collective.
From 12 to 2, a live recording of Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze. Come through, hang out with us. We'll be taking pictures, shaking hands. You can buy some cool-ass sneakers and apparel so you can be fly like the kid.
Right on. Hey, you said taking pictures, shaking hands. Maybe say, hey, man, you about to start performing Hot to the World.
I look walking through the airport, taking pictures, shaking hands. Also, again, if you like the content, if you're enjoying this, please subscribe, like, comment. And share with your wrestling friends who would also like this. And if you're in the greater Houston area, March 28th, Space City Collective, 12 to 2. Come hang out with us as we record an episode of Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze. And on that note, we're done, right?
We're done, man.
See you, Space Cowboy.
I just lay back in something new. Whiskey 21 and over low ball. Make it too neat, Dizza from Harlem. Yeah, I'm from Houston off of Fondren. Mike Mizanin, real world flow. Plant these seeds in the streets and in weeks. Watch it blossom. Dark night, riding on chrome, swinging through Gotham. It's me and P, repaving these roads.